Welcome to another episode of Spiritually Powered Horsemanship, where Cindy and Laura, two very different women from two very different backgrounds, share how they are alchemizing hearts and horses for a deeper connection with life. One of our deepest intentions on this podcast is to keep it real, because in our horsemanship journeys, there's no black and white, nothing is for sure, and anything can change at a given moment. So in that, we're always going to share with you our intention for an episode, but Cindy and I are pretty good at calling each other forward and exploring something out of left field when we see that that person needs that support, and we're going to take you along on that journey. So if it happens and we take a right turn and end up somewhere else, we trust that it was meant to be. As you listen to this episode, if you're finding yourself having an aha, a new awareness, or just really enjoying the conversation, please leave us a 5-star review on wherever you're listening to us. This is the best thing that you can do to help us get this podcast into the ears of more passionate horse people. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our very first episode of Spiritually Empowered Horsemanship. In this episode, we are going to help you discover the magic of spiritually empowered horsemanship. We are going to share the who, what, and why of what all of this is and why you're going to want to tune in and listen. We are two women from two different generations, two vastly different backgrounds in the horse world, who have come together because we have realized that horses have cracked us both wide open in ways that we never could have imagined. And we both surrendered to that cracking open and are surrendering more deeply to it every day. And that is what we're going to share with you guys over the course of all of our episodes. So my name is Laura. I reside in the hills outside of Sacramento with my wonderful rescue red mare. And we go against all of the stereotypes loudly and proudly. And now I'm going to introduce you to Cindy.
Hello, everybody. And thank you, Laura. I'm super excited to be doing this together. I have had horses all of my life, and I reside currently in the Carson Valley of Nevada, which is just on the other side of the Sierra Mountains from Lake Tahoe. I have, amongst those who share the ranch with me, are my 12 horses. Yes, I said 12. I have the dozen, and the majority of them are Mustangs. And Mustangs have changed my life. Like Laura said, they have cracked me wide open to the possibilities. And I'm super excited to come together, this amazing woman, and share some really fun stuff about horses. And what are we doing on this podcast? This podcast is for passionate horse people, not just any people. Of course, if you don't have a horse, you could still listen, because by the time you're done, you're going to want one. But we are talking to those who are passionate about horses, and they know that there's more to the experiences we can have with horses than what we see in the normal environment of training and doing and treating. And we are here to help expand your awareness and your curiosity and your imagination.
Yeah, and in that expansion, you're going to find yourself feeling more confident in the driver's seat of being the steward of your horses. Traditionally, you defer outside for everything. You go to the trainer, you go to the vet, you go to the farrier, you go to the nutritionist, and all those professionals are so needed and so valuable. But we've accidentally created a culture where they know better than you, even though they only see your horse for an hour. And we really want to make sure that you have the confidence to know that you know your horse is best out of everybody, and you are the one who can call the shots in their lives.
You know, Laura, it's so true because we are creating a relationship with another living being who their survival depends on them knowing their herd members inside and out, and when they're being authentic. And they can help us learn to find that within ourselves, to trust our intuition and trust our gut. And so, yes, it's important to have that huge supportive team. But it's even more important than that, and we're going to help you discover that more and more through our podcast. You and your horse, when you come together in the way that's possible, the two of you will know what's right in every given moment. And we're going to teach you how to learn how to tap and tune in to both your wisdom and your horses.
Yeah, and once you have confidence in that, you can navigate anything.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I guess we've kind of tapped into our why here, but that's our next step. Our why is horses are being constantly overlooked, their needs are not being met, and horse people are finding themselves in situations where they know there is more. They know there's a deeper relationship. They know they can do better by their horse, but they don't know where to get that information. They're scared to quote unquote experiment on their horse because what if you make a mistake? And they just feel stuck and like, I want more. I want it to be better. And I don't know how to make that happen. And our why is for you to have this deeper connection, have this deeper intuition, and be able to use it to actually create the relationship, the environment, the life with your horse that you really want. Because when we do that, we are healthier and horses are healthier and everyone is better off.
You know, Laura, I think part of our why is with this being our first podcast and people are being introduced to the spiritually empowered horsemanship, the alchemizing of hearts and horses to create a deeper connection in our lives. I think it's of value for us to share with them a little bit about where we came from. Like, I got my first horse when I was 11 years old, and it was something to keep me distracted while the rest of the family was out doing, working for the summer and whatnot. And I was extremely abused. And the horse that I got was a little pony named Skagit, and he taught me so much. So much. I spent more time on the ground spitting out dirt the first month than I did on his back. And he taught me about, determination and courage and the willingness to get up and keep trying. But he also taught me about unconditional love. And he taught me when I needed to check back in with my body and stop being such a brat. I mean, he was my teacher, my best friend, my confidant, my rock. And over the years, I have seen so many horses being completely misunderstood and being made to do things when if if people could just open their hearts up and see the living being, they would have a horse that would do anything with them. And I remember growing up and watching the girls at the barn having to do their shows and having to do all these things that didn't seem like fun, you know? And I was just there cleaning out my stall and jumping on my horse, and I was in the foothills all day long. That's never changed. They've always been my rock. They've been my peace of mind. They've been my safety and my getaway. And so that's part of the why that we've come together. That's part of it for me, is that now that I teach women horsemanship, it's about helping people see this magnificent living being that's willing to connect.
Yeah, and that connection is everything. And we have to be brave enough to open our hearts to it. And that can be scary and feel hard. I think a lot of people were, do my horse even like me? And then if I open my heart to that, what if I open my heart fully to my horse and they don't like me? And this is bringing me directly on my horsemanship journey, because I started with the worst first horse that you could ever choose for someone. And it was one of the most rewarding experiences of my life. He was a 5-year-old unhandled Arab who had been gelded 5 minutes ago. Was seized by the state of Idaho because he kept getting out of the fences and breeding all the neighbors' mares, so he knew fully well what his manhood was about and how to use it. And he needed a person. His name was Double Trouble, and his go-to was, "I'm gonna headbutt you straight onto the ground and run away because I'm so terrified and people are not safe." And I don't know why I chose. Okay, so my friend had worked with him a couple times. And she, for some reason, decided at this rescue that we're volunteering at that this would be the good horse for me to work at with, even though they were like perfectly well-trained horses at this rescue that I could have learned. That's not how it went. And so I quickly realized that I had to get right with me, because I would get very scared and he would get very scared and things would go to hell in a handbasket. And I really looked at it. And that's kind of where I think my natural just connection to the animals has really helped me, is I wasn't looking at him as a bad horse. Like traditional horsemanship would have told me to stay as far away from that horse as possible and never go near him.
Or
Tradition
break his spirit.
or break his spirit. That's what traditional horsemanship would have said. But I had rescued dogs and cats, and like we look at them and we say, "Why are you feeling that way? And how can we help you?" That's what I did with him. And I realized, you have no reason to trust a human. Why would I expect that of you? And my only goal with him to start out was, I am going to get you to walk down the driveway feeling confident that I'm going to keep you safe while we walk down the driveway, because there's a pretty cool horse in here, and no potential adopter is ever going to see past the headbutting if we can't get over that. So I walked with my arm straight out. I didn't know what I was doing at the time, but what I was doing was breathing deeply and regulating my nervous system and giving him something to attune to. And before you knew it, this horse fell wildly in love with me. And I fell wildly in love with him. And it was so easy. And the story will unfold as we share in more episodes, but I tragically lost him to colic and led me to my mare that I have now, who hated me for the first 2 years of our relationship. And learning to open my heart to a horse that wasn't receiving it was a completely different ball game than to DT, who just saw it and it was easy. And Cindy was a huge catalyst in helping me figure that out. But I can tell you that fear, does my horse like me, is real. And it's totally possible to overcome, but I had to be the one to crack open first. And that wasn't easy, but you can do it.
Wow. I think unknowingly you just described spiritually empowered horsemanship. Because with that first horse, traditional approaches would not have gotten you anywhere, much like gentling a wild Mustang. And we're going to get into all these juicy topics. But the approach that you took, Laura, was being vulnerable and opening your heart and looking beyond the surface. That saying, you can't judge a book by its cover. And then he taught you so much. And then here comes MJ. And she's like, oh, you think you're all that in a cup of tea?
Yes, that's
I don't
yes.
think so. Let's knock you down a notch or two, young lady. And so, in what you had to do then was you had to be willing to be the one to stand still and be vulnerable and keep showing up with an open heart so that she could feel you. Because, horses can read as like books, and that's why they're so powerful for our spiritual journey. I just want to kind of touch here for a moment. Spiritual and religion, they're two different things. We're not talking about a religion. We're talking about the spiritual essence of who we are that makes me uniquely different than you and MJ uniquely different than Handsome Harry, who y'all all are. That's another episode. But I love that you so organically described what spiritually empowered horsemanship is. It's a different approach. It's from the inside out. It's about authentically showing up, willing to be vulnerable, but not scared, even though you're going to have moments of being scared, and being willing to nurture the relationship with the horse that shows up in front of you on any given day, and recognizing that not every day we're going to be on. And on those days that we're not feeling empowered or like leadership or, in tune with our heart, can we still connect with our horse and just be and not have to do on that day, that undemanding time? I have this, just a real quick side note here. We're talking about how are we going to expand your guys' awareness of the topic of spiritually empowered horsemanship. There's a lot of different words being put in front of horsemanship. Horsemanship is knowing all about horses, not just riding, not just carrying, not just equitation. It is about knowing the horse from the inside out and how to engage with them in a way that is safe and sound and healthy for everybody. And so we've chosen spiritually empowered, which means being in your body, being able to behave with wisdom and compassion while maintaining inner and outer peace, regardless of the situation you and your horse are facing.
Yeah.
That's what we're here to help empower you with. And I have a client who I'm working with that has a troubled horse, and he's come from a high intense program, and now he's not, and he's very troubled and being labeled. He's actually even kind of becoming dangerous. And so the other day I just hung out with him. Like, I'm not going to touch you. I have no demands of you. Can I just be with you? And I watched this horse transform before my eyes. So hopefully we can help people understand that it's not always about doing, doing, doing.
Yeah, that's huge.
Because look at horses. I mean, we all love this scene, right? We're driving down the country road. Out here, we have wild Mustangs, so we'll see wild. But, you know, we're driving down the country road. And we come to this beautiful green pasture. And there's a bunch of horses out there, just heads down and grazing. And some are laying in the sun. And some are grooming each other. And does it not warm all of our hearts?
Yes. Yes.
It's the beautiful picture of being,
yeah,
just being with one another. They're not on their cell phones.
No,
they're not on their computers.
You're not worried about what they have on their to-do list or what's going to happen tomorrow.
No, no. They hear a noise, they all look. Oh, nothing.
Yeah.
Resume. Back to being.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're going to challenge you guys to be. And you're going to find out it's hard.
But we're also going to teach you some really cool ways,
yeah,
to make it easier to just be.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where your horses are going to pay attention to you in a way that you have never experienced.
And if you're at a boarding facility,
maybe also people.
There's going to be people paying attention to you in ways they've never done before. But we don't care, right? Because it's all about the horse. At the end of the day, I care what my horse has to say.
Yes. And I am at a boarding facility, guys. I'm not preaching this from my backyard. And Cindy regularly goes and teaches and chairs at a boarding facility that's much fancier. And I'm at a wonderful backyard boarding facility. Cindy goes into the hoity-toity world. And there's a lot there. And those people, you know, if you're in the hoity-toity world and this is resonating with you, welcome. We're so excited that you're here and that you've made it this far to listen. I can tell you that I am the weird girl at my barn, but nobody questions it. Because they see what I have with my horse and they all want it.
Yep. Yep. And you know, what Laura and I are sharing with you guys is the connection, the foundation. Every successful experience or goal that involves two or more people or two or more beings is only as successful as the relationship between the individuals. And when there's a relationship of trust and connection and communication, there's a rock solid partnership that you can then go on and do anything you want to do with your horse. Jumping, 3-day eventing, endurance, trail trials. Should I dare say, Laura? Just trail riding.
Yes.
That's another episode.
That's another episode.
That's an episode in itself. But we welcome you all because we are all about that spiritually empowered horsemanship is about that solid foundation. Build it on sand or build it on solid ground.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, we can go into picking apart each individual industry and all of its issues, but really, if everybody did this work first, They would know immediately what was right and what was wrong within their sport. And they would be bravely making the changes that need to be made because they would see it and do it out of love for their animal.
Yes. There's a video circling around Facebook right now that I actually shared because it encouraged me. I saved it for those days that I feel like the horse industry is never going to change. I'm going to watch this video because it's of a high-level jumper competing with just a neck rope. No bridle, no nothing, just a neck rope, just a relationship and a partnership. And they were phenomenal. And it just is so beautiful to see that there are people in all walks of the horse industry that are realizing that horses deserve to be seen and have a voice. And a choice. And if they're given that, it's gonna be a relationship unlike any other, wouldn't you say, Laura?
Oh my gosh, they're gonna give you the world.
They're also gonna give you challenges and make you learn.
Yes, and you have to be willing to go there. But if you are, they're gonna give you the world.
So tell us, Laura, real quick, and then I know you're gonna put me on the spot too. Where are you in your horsemanship journey?
Okay, that's a complicated question. I am navigating the horse care side more than I ever have and more than I ever thought I would. I should have written down my dates before we started this, but I'm going to try.
Oh boy.
I think it was 21, summer, spring of 21. Well, okay. No, I need to bring you back to the beginning of MJ. I adopted MJ knowing she was probably going to be a light riding horse. She had suffered a stifle injury, what we thought was a stifle injury. While I was working with DT at the rescue. So MJ actually led me to DT, who led me back to MJ, which is wild as hell. But MJ needed to be hand walked. Her leg from the supposed stifle injury was as big around as me.
Wow.
And I turned to the owner of the rescue and I said, "Why haven't you put that horse down?" And he turned back to me and said, "Look at her. Does that look like she wants to be put down to you? Like she's tearing the gosh dang walls of this barn down. She does not want to be put down. She wants to go outside. And she's going to have to get over that." And he was right. She did not want to be put down. Knowing what I know today, I actually think that she had a large trauma to her back that resulted in a huge hematoma down the leg. We had a holistic veterinarian at the rescue, and so we didn't ever have any like official diagnosis on this, but they treated her. She got better. She led me to DT because I was going to walk her. I knew how to put a halter on a horse, and that was about it. But as I was bringing her out of the barn, she was so excited, and I picked up on that explosive energy, and I went, "Oh no." As soon as I clear her out of the barn, she's gonna rear. And that's the worst thing she could possibly do on this leg. And so I just forced her back into the barn. And then we walked up and down the barn aisle instead of going outside because I knew she couldn't rear. And the owner of the rescue was watching from afar because that's how he does it with his volunteers. And it's just astounding how he trusts people with these wild horses. And he saw that intuitive thing happen with me, and he came down and he said, "You're going to learn how to start colts because that's the kind of mind that we need." And that led me to DT. And then DT passed and led me to MJ. So I knew that MJ had had a significant trauma to her body, and I adopted her knowing she might be a light riding horse, and I was fine with that. I brought her to California where I lived. She was very out of shape. But the more we got her into shape, the sounder she got. And we had 2.5 killer years of eating up the trails with no issue. And then she was living on a pretty steep 5-acre pasture. And one day she came in limping a little bit. And I watched it for a while. My vet was out. My vet said, "I'm really surprised you noticed that." And it wasn't an energetic, it wasn't, it's not that I know how to look at a horse. And really, now I do, but at the time I didn't know how to look at a horse and really tell you exactly where lameness was stemming from and why. I could just feel that she was uncomfortable and I traced it to the spot. And my vet was like, "I can't believe you noticed anything was wrong." But we rested her. We did an x-ray. There was an artifact in the tendon on the x-ray. It was a maybe this is something, maybe this is nothing. Regardless, we would prescribe rest for 60 days. So let's just go ahead and do that. We did that. MJ went sound. Another year of trail riding, doing whatever we wanted, no problem. Exactly a year later, same thing. Came in off the pasture, a little lamer this time. Okay, I'm not messing with this. We're going in for the ultrasound. We're getting the full diagnostics. At that time, she had tearing in, if you're not familiar with hind limb anatomy, there's no muscles below the hock. There's two tendons that are keeping everything together down there. And she had tearing in both of them with some significant calcification in the deep digital, which was that artifact that we'd seen a year ago. So the vet very coldly turned to me and said, "You need to get a re retire this horse and get a different one." If you knew anything about me, anything about our journey, you would have known how horrible that was to say to somebody. So I'm bawling. My horse, who holds me accountable in uncomfortable ways, starts biting me because she's like, "You need to be asking questions right now and figuring out how to manage this, not losing your head." So that really kickstarted our rehab journey. And we rehabbed in a small area for a year. We found a vet who is on board to preserve her quality of life. That was my thing. I'm not going to stop riding this horse and put her in a stall. I'll shoot her right now before I do that. And I meant that deep in my bones, and I know that's what she wanted. Now, we were willing to do 6 to 8 months of stall rest, and we didn't. It wasn't stall rest, it was a large paddock, but we did that and it worked. But then we found out that that calcification was going to constantly cause issues. So we had surgery in September of last year. After finding a very good vet team who is on board with giving her quality of life while preserving her. And now we've been rehabbing from surgery ever since. So my focus right now in my horsemanship journey is being at peace with whatever comes. Because the reality of the situation is, if that tendon completely ruptures, there will be nothing we can do for her. And she doesn't want to go stand in a pasture by herself. She doesn't want to stop going out and doing things. She's okay with that risk. And because I have the intuitive connection, I know that. Makes me sick to my stomach. But she's okay with that risk. And then also diving into every single thing I can do, every study I can read, every energetic practice I can do. We do acupressure, we do body work, we do Celeste Lazara's balance through movement method. We're exploring biomechanics, like how can I make the rest of her body function optimally at all times so that we're not having compensations that cause this leg. The other thing that happened is happening right now for me is I'm 30 weeks pregnant. So there's no reason for MJ or I to be riding because we don't need to stack those risks. So we're doing it all from the ground right now. And my goal is to get to about July, and we're sitting here in March, and be able to ride her and see where that takes us and really ask her, "Do you want to be ridden? Are you happy?" Right now, we're hiking the trails, which is the best way you can prepare your body to give birth. So, why not? And she loves that. And so, I'm going to be sitting with the question of, do I have a hiking partner instead of a riding partner? And is that what's best for her? But yeah, you're going to hear a lot about the biomechanics, in the horse care from me, because that's where we are and that's our story.
It's an amazing one as well.
What about you, Cindy? What's alive in your horse world?
Oh my goodness. Right now I have currently in my lineup, I have four Mustangs varying ages that are all green. And for those of you who aren't familiar with that, with what I mean by green, is they have a horse is considered green until they've had 300 hours under the saddle. So none of these are even really close to that. In 2021, I lost my beloved trusty steed, best horse I've ever had, and was plunged into these four. They all have varying personalities and varying opinions. And what they're calling on me to do is to really pay attention to the relationship that I'm building with each one. There's a standard of I've been devoted to my horsemanship journey, becoming the best horsewoman I could ever be since 2020. And so I started gentling wild Mustangs in 2011. So I've really immersed myself in how to introduce these guys to life with humans in a way that...
Ooh, I want to interrupt you.
Uh-huh.
You did it for 9 years without immersing yourself into being the best horsewoman you could be.
9 years?
2011 to 2020, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about what's different.
What's different between those two?
That your approach in 2011 versus your approach today.
Is I have spent a tremendous amount of time healing me and with my relationship with me and learning about where my triggers are and where my fears and lack of confidence. I also, from 2017 to 2020, had three very serious accidents with my beloved RC that we'll get into on another podcast that sent me on that journey of really finding out who I am from the inside out. And so what's really something that's in the forefront is the relationship we have with horses. I'm seeing it in all of the people I work with, and I'm mostly seeing it firsthand with the four that I'm working with, because there are a standard of things that we do to help start horses from the ground and the halter, how to engage with humans, putting this, you know, up to the saddle, up to riding. There's a standard of techniques and tools and skills, but none of that matters if you don't put the relationship first and you don't give your horse that opportunity to be seen and to be heard and to let them have a choice and a voice, because when you do, they communicate so clearly with you when they're struggling, when they've got it, when they need help, when they're afraid. I mean, they say so much to you. So right now where I am at is really learning that none of them are like RC. And that they all are amazing in their own ways. And they're going to show up and give me what I'm willing to show up and give them. It has to start with us, especially since we're striving to be the leader. You know, horses need leadership. And if we're not going to be that leader, then they're going to step up and be the leader, whether they're capable or not. And so I want to be an inclusive leader. I want my horse to be a partner. So when I get out on the trail and I get into a situation that I don't have the answer to, I know I can turn to my horse and say, "What do you got?" And they're like, "Don't worry, I got it," because we've been nurturing the relationship and the partnership. So for me right now, it's very, very deep dive immersion into the relationship with each and every one of them. And boy, they're really making me dive deep into how I feel about each one because I miss RC. You know, I miss him. I didn't want to lose him. And it's so hard for us not to compare, you know? So I have to check in with that. And then I have to see their strengths and their weaknesses. And the only way I can do that is to be present with them. And like you said, you know, see the horse.
And really highlight for a minute your four different personalities because they're wildly different and you have to show up differently for each one of them.
So I have Harry, Handsome Harry, who's my main partner. He and I just qualified as a mounted team in the Douglas County Sheriff's Mounted Posse. And he is a bottle brat. And so he was raised by humans, pulled off the range when he was 5 days old. And he has so much confidence and so much charisma. And he's the jokester. He's the class clown. And he lives in the present moment with a little bit of ADD. So you just never know what you're going to get with Harry. And he demands that you be a leader because he was raised by humans. So he kind of looks at humans as playmates. And then we have Perone, who was born on our place in Truckee. He's 9 years old. Haven't done much with him because he's got sticky stifles, which his knees lock on both back legs, the knees lock. So he's not stable for the riding that I do. So I kind of just, he's been a pasture pet with his mom, but he so badly wants to do something that I'm starting to work with him, and everything's new. You know, take him away from mama and he gets super worried. And when he gets worried, he wants to go fast, but he wants to do a job. And then there's Katniss, who's a little Mustang that was pulled off the range with her mom when she was 4 months old and injured in the trailer. So she's got fused vertebrae in her neck, so she can't bend her neck fully, which puts some limitations on her, but she can still be started. And she's just rock solid. She reminds me of a Native American woman. Very wise, very present, very quiet, but isn't missing a thing. And she really loves to do stuff with me. I've been taking her out on walks in the mountains since she was a year old. So she really loves. And then there's Dakota, my big girl, she's the queen and she's very opinionated. And she would prefer not to be ridden because she was started with not a really good experience, but she is so fun to ride. And when you get her out in the mountains and she's comfortable, she really wants to go. But she makes me earn every single ounce of respect that I get from her. And she will not be pushed. It has to be respectful and cohesive. And so each one of them makes me rise to the occasion of they're really expanding my ability as a leader and as a trusted partner. So I'm grateful for all of them. And I miss riding a horse that's very seasoned.
Gosh, you know, it's really interesting that you picked out Katniss as your most solid mind. Why do our, you know, I'm navigating a lot of grief around what's going to be lost potential with MJ. Like if I could give her a new leg, we could go up any mountain and down any valley and through whatever we wanted to, and we would be unstoppable. And it's interesting that yours is also limited, your most solid mind.
Yeah, they told me that I can ride her. She'll be good. She'll never be able to give me quite that full lateral bend to, I think it's the right. Her vertebrae magically fused together. I mean, this little girl came to me when she was 4 months old, wild as could be, with a 6-month-old, traumatized as hell. And I had no idea she had a broken neck.
Freaking broken neck.
A broken neck.
That's wild.
And it fused in a way that the spinal cord still has room to go through safely. But if it were to ever get pinched, she would go paralyzed in her hindquarters, which I like to do high country, high mountain riding, and she won't ever be able to do that, but I believe she will be my most amazing clinic horse
Yeah.
that helps me teach lessons and flatland riding. We could go on to do like trail obstacles, because she's just that solid. So I hear you talking, I totally relate to that grieving, like for what could have been. But part of our spiritually empowered journey is realizing that it's no mistake that the horses that come into our lives are here for us to enrich their lives and for them to enrich our lives. Just like the relationships we have, they change and evolve. And if we're committed to the relationship, we evolve with them. We're so excited to be here and sharing. We're going to share so much with you guys. And it's going to be through storytelling like this, how we have learned what we've learned, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
We're going to try to strike that balance of, we're really committed to continuing our journey, and who the hell knows where that's going to go, but we're going to share it. So we're going to really strike that balance of sharing stories that have happened and sharing the journeys as they unfold, because they are equally as powerful and valuable for us to explore with you guys.
And we know a lot, and we also know there's a lot we don't know.
So much more.
So we are teachers. And we are equally students of the horse.
All the time. And I think something that we drilled into when we were planning out what we wanted this to look like, and I want to bring forward, is everything we learn, we bring to the horse. And Cindy has the unique privilege of bringing it to four different horses. And if it doesn't work for you and your horse, that's okay. If doing it differently works for you and your horse, that's okay. Anything you hear on this podcast, anything you learn from anybody, bring it to your horse. And you don't know whether or not it works or whether or not it's right until you bring it to the horse. And that is what we practice day in and day out. And it's what we want you to empower you to do too. And what I do with MJ looks wildly different than what I did with DT. Looks wildly different than anything that Cindy did with any of her four horses. And she approaches them all differently. And that's what we want you to feel confident doing, is there's no A plus B equals C horsemanship system.
No magic formula.
Yes.
Just a whole bunch of tools and a whole bunch of skills and wisdom and the willingness to meet each horse where they're at and make everything that you learn your own.
100%. Yeah.
Your horse will love you for that.
So thank you guys for tuning in to our first episode.
Yes. Yes. And so, Laura, how often are we going to do this?
Oh yeah. We are planning on the second and third Tuesdays of every month with a lot of flexibility built in because
Actually, you and I, we both wrote down the same thing, and it's so wrong. Second and fourth Tuesday.
you're right. That makes a heck of a lot more sense.
People, I'm like, oh, yep, second and third. And I'm like, no.
That's wrong. Yeah, second and fourth. Second and fourth Tuesdays with me about to have a baby and with Cindy having 12 Mustangs in her backyard and me having a special needs horse. Life's going to happen and we're going to put that first, but we are setting the intention of the second and fourth Tuesdays and we'll see you there most of the time.
It's one of the golden rules of our horsemanship journey. Always have a plan, yet be willing to be flexible in any given moment.
Perfect.
Yep. And you'll be able to find this podcast on any major podcast platform. If you want to reach out to me or Laura, you can reach me on Facebook. I have a Facebook group called Unbridled Reflections. So you can hop on over there and request to join it. You can also find me under Cindy Hartzell on Facebook too. Feel free to reach out and connect. And Laura, how can we find you?
Yeah, I am on Instagram for my horsemanship journey under the Homestead Witch. I'm trying to do a little bit better job of sharing the vulnerabilities of MJ and I's journey there. So you'll see a lot of stuff related to the podcast. You'll also see me doing this exact same work with my chickens and my dog and my cat and sometimes my husband, depending. We all, and I'm sure the baby as she comes. So that is where that happens. And if you try to connect with me on Facebook, you're going to see a bunch of business content. So Instagram is where the horse stuff lives.
Yes. And Laura's got a great, the Homestead Witch is there's a lot that goes into all of that, that as we share our podcast, you guys are going to get to know us both pretty well. And I love that you do all, we do all of this that we do with our horses in all of our relationships
Yeah.
because relationships are what makes the world go round. And it starts with ourselves and that little baby in there. And now with all of you guys. So thank you all so much for tuning in. Thank you for tuning in to this episode on our podcast. I want to remind you that we'll be here every second and fourth Tuesday of the month following the golden rule. That's the plan, but we are always willing to be flexible. If you want to connect with either one of us, you can do so by finding me on Facebook, my Facebook group, Unbridled Reflections. And you can find Laura on Instagram. She's known as the Homestead Witch. The links to those contacts can be found in the show notes below.
Don't forget, if you learned something new today, had an aha, or walked away with a valuable nugget of awareness, you can say thanks by leaving us a review on whatever platform you're listening on.